This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Jim Galone. Jim is the director of the OASIS, a program office at the Federal Acquisition Service. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. Thanks for having me today.
And today we are going to focus on OASIS, which is GSA's latest contract initiative to sort of create a total solution for professional services, including information technology. But first, Jim, I'd like to get a little bit of your background. And, you know, first of all, as someone who worked at GSA, it's always interesting to hear how people came to GSA. So what's your story?
Well, actually, I served as a network engineer. I was a contractor when GSA was migrating its email from CC Mail to Lotus Notes way back in the day, around 1999.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
And obviously, I got to know the agency, and they were recruiting at that time, and I was fortunate enough to be selected to join GSA, an organization called FedSim, doing project management for customers, IT project management. And over the years, I worked my way up through that organization, became a group manager, and I'd say around 2004 timeframe, plus or minus, I was given the opportunity to participate in a review of the Alliant program, which was just getting started at the time. And after participating, I decided to volunteer to be the program manager for Alliant. And so that was my first step into the big world of government-wide acquisition contracts.
Okay. Yeah, and sometimes it's be careful what you volunteer for,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly true. So that was pretty big.
Although Alliant has been very successful, right?
It has. You know, we went through some bumps in the road, but we got there. It was exciting. It was fun. I learned a lot. After it was up and running, I thought it was time for a new challenge. So I moved back to what is now the Assisted Acquisition Service within the Federal Acquisition Service, and acted as the Director of Business Operations there with a great team of folks helping customers meet their IT requirements across the country.
Yeah, that'd be good just to talk a little bit about what the Assisted Services Office does.
Sure. Yeah. Assisted Acquisition Services at GSA essentially performs the full lifecycle acquisition support for customer agencies that either don't have contracting support or whose own contracting offices are overwhelmed with the sheer volume of requirements that they need to support. So we do a variety of things from placing orders, contract administration, market research, pre-award activities, et cetera, just to support those customer agencies. And so I spent a couple of years in that organization. I had a wonderful time.
Yeah, and I have to say, Jim, that's an important organization, and I think it's over time it's going to be increasingly important as, you know, agencies, you know, budgets are reduced and personnel are cut. You know, the ability to sort of leverage those ability, you know, the services that are provided in support of conducting acquisition, I think, is going to be vital.
It is. It's indeed. And our sort of vision was that allowing GSA to assist on the acquisition side of things frees up mission specialists to focus on mission. And that's really what agencies need to do, especially in these sort of severe budget times, is they don't want to waste resources doing acquisitions where we have that service that we can provide in a very cost-effective manner. So in any case, I did that for a while, and I was offered another opportunity. It's always good to be offered opportunities when, at the time, Integrations, now OASIS, was just sort of exiting the initial stages of internal review, and a decision had been made to move forward with that contract, which we're going to talk about here at some length. And I was asked to step in and take over as the program manager for that in similar capacity to what I had done on Alliant. And so I jumped at the chance. I'm very excited about it, anxious to apply the lessons learned from my previous experience, but also to gain new experience. It's a different field. It's a different part of the organization. So I'm making new friends and meeting new people, but still applying my skill sets and my experience, I think, in a very useful manner. So it's been a very good ride.
Okay. Well, that's great background, Jim. And now let's get to to OASIS and what it is. One, it's, I guess OASIS stands for One Acquisition Solution for Integrated Services. And, you know, previously, you know, I just want to, I'm interested in this, these kind of things and sort of the messaging. It used to be integrations. You know, GSA made a decision to change the name. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, why the name change?
Yeah, sure. The integrations term was sort of an internal term. It hadn't been vetted or reviewed in any kind of way. It just sort of arisen organically over a number of years where idea for this vehicle was percolating within different parts of GSA. As that idea matured and became closer to what we see now, as the team coalesced, as the business case coalesced, and we began really focusing on getting this thing awarded, we thought it was a good time to sort of clear the decks, have a new name that would be more hopefully meaningful to both customers and to industry. You know, the reason that we're doing OASIS, or one of the reasons, is that we perceive that there is a gap in the market for complex integrated professional solutions. There are no government-wide accessible contracts that support those types of efforts. Most of them are being done through full and open competition and other less efficient methods than you can do with the type of contract that OASIS will be. And so if you think of that desert of opportunity, OASIS then is the one place you want to go to get relief from those struggles. So we thought it had some evocative imagery in addition to having a fun acronym, which in government we, of course, love our acronyms. So.
Right. I keep thinking of a desert, right? And there's the OASIS. And So you've touched a little bit on it, but can you sort of talk big picture? What OASIS is going to include and what the goals are?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been a tremendous increase in the acquisition of professional services across government over the last 10 to 15 years. It's a rapidly growing field. And within GSA, obviously, our goal is to support all customer needs across the entire spectrum of what potential requirements they might have. In the professional services area, primarily, traditionally, we've used GSA schedules such as MOBIS, PES, LogWorld to acquire things like management and consulting services, professional engineering services, logistics, financial advice and financial services. And those have worked very well to an extent. But what we found is that there is a gap when you get to what we call complex integrated solutions. And by complex, I mean solutions that touch multiple disciplines that require perhaps both commercial and non-commercial requirements, where there may be extensive other direct costs involved as an integrated solution set, where that may require complex teaming arrangements or prime-sub relationships to bring a total solution to bear. So mix and match any number of those factors, and you can get to a situation where it's difficult to achieve a single, you know, point-of-contact solution, an integrated solution through the existing contracts out there. And we looked around at our fellow agencies to see what they were doing, and they're in a similar boat. They did not have a vehicle that would accommodate those types of solutions. So they were either doing full and open competitions, which would take an extensive amount of time or fairly inefficient as far as getting a solution on the ground quickly, or they were mixing and matching a variety of different smaller vehicles and kind of hoping it would all plug together well. So OASIS is designed to fill that gap. It's designed to provide customers with access to streamlined acquisition for complex integrated professional services.
Right. How does information technology play in it?
Information technology plays in because, you know, you can't really do anything without it anymore. And, you know, again, traditional approaches tend to stovepipe, you know, whether it's through NAICS codes or SINs or other industry classifications, stovepipe different types of components of a solution. And what we're really trying to do is give customers that single solution that integrates all of their requirements into one task order. And so for IT, OASIS is not an IT contract. It's not meant to acquire IT solutions. We have GSA, GSA Schedule 70. We have a variety of government-wide acquisition contracts.
We have Alliant, right?
We have Alliant, right, as previously discussed, that can meet IT requirements. But what we found with professional services is that there's often an IT component that is integral and necessary to the successful deployment of a solution, even though the requirement in and of itself is not IT. So, for example, if we had an agency that was merging two offices into one. Perhaps somewhere at Commerce, they found two different branch offices that are doing similar functions. And as part of the president's agenda to simplify government, they decide to merge those two offices into one. So in order to do that, you need to do an analysis, obviously, of processes. You need to look at the structure of the organization, do a lot of business and management analysis to see how you're going to best merge those offices together structurally. You're going to have processes that need to be changed, process manuals that need to be updated, quality control, management controls that need to be updated to reflect the new office. You may have logistical considerations regarding moving people from one place to another, reconfiguring office space, etc. You may also have HR issues, time and attendance. Say each office has a separate time and attendance system. As part of the solution to bring those things together, say, well, we need to get a new time and attendance solution. That's an IT requirement. Right. It's an IT piece. You could do that on this single OASIS task order because the requirement is related to the office merge. And the time and attendance system deployment of that, training in that, is just a component of that. If the requirement was we need a new time and attendance system, period. That would be an IT requirement. Right. And we would direct them to either Schedule 70 or the GWAX folks at GSA. But in this case, you've got a broad professional services requirement that has IT in it. That IT is then within scope. They can do that single solution. The integrator or the industry partner that would then win that competitive task order to do that work would be able to acquire that IT solution and deploy it as part of the broader solution set.
Well, that's great, Jim. And right now we do up against the first break. So we do have to take a break right now, Jim. But when we come back, we'll be talking more with Jim Galone, who is the director of the OASIS Program Office. And we'll talk a little bit more about the services to be acquired, some of the scheduling, that kind of things, and where the procurement is. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Jim Galone. Jim is the director of the OASIS Program Office. OASIS is the one acquisition solution for integrated services, GSA's latest major services procurement initiative. And Jim, when we took that break, you had described a hypothetical requirement that may fall under OASIS and how information technology and played in that. Do you have other examples of what a requirement might look like under OASIS you could talk about?
Sure. So say we had an agency that wanted to set up an office to provide communications to citizens in event of a national emergency. And in order to set up that capability, again, it's going to be a wide-ranging effort. You're going to need the business process analysis to set up what does that organization look like, how does it interface with existing parts of that agency. What are the lines of communication? There'll be IT in the – what are the systems requirements? What are the telecommunications requirements? You're offering information to citizens in times of emergency, so you're going to need to have plans in place for dealing with different scenarios depending on the type of emergency, communications availability. You are going to have potentially some subject matter expertise from various engineering or subsets related to, the different types of both technical difficulties that result and also specifics related to the emergency, in addition to just sort of standard logistics associated with setting up any new organization, financial systems, payroll, HR functions that we described before. And so, again, you've got a requirement. It's a services requirement. It crosses multiple disciplines, in this case, consulting, logistics, engineering, potentially some financial, potentially some IT. You want to have a single provider providing that support to ensure that you're getting the type of responsiveness that you need as an agency. That's going to involve a mix of commercial and non-commercial items. It's going to involve a variety of contract types. So some of the equipment is going to be purchased on a firm fixed price basis. Some of the services hopefully will be done through a cost reimbursable, maybe an incentive fee or an award fee. There may be some time and materials if necessary just to account for the uncertainty of these situations. You may have optional contract line items for T&M for just when the emergency arises, we can quickly deploy people. OASIS will allow for a task order that incorporates a hybrid of all of those contract types in the single order so the government is getting the support it needs in a cost-efficient manner, minimizing its risk and adhering to all of the directives from OFPP and from the White House on doing good contracting.
Yeah, so that's a great example. And it sort of strikes me that it is, when you're thinking about the benefits of OASIS, that ability to provide that sort of comprehensive solution, both in terms of contract type plus services is really, and the time to put it in place are the major, sort of, it seems to me, strengths that you're looking at. Is that correct?
That's right. And the benefit of a contract like OASIS is because we've done most of the legwork in issuing the master contract, we will have awarded to some set of best-in-class contractors that we have validated can support these types of requirements, that have the necessary experience, that have necessary systems, necessary audited clearances and things like that, so that when the agency actually needs to do the acquisition, they can do so in a very streamlined manner. And what would have taken them perhaps a year in a full and open environment can be done in a matter of weeks, because of the fact that we've done so much of that legwork and we've provided them access to streamlined acquisition procedures so they can get a solution on the ground very quickly.
Right. So you've been in your position with OASIS for about 4 months or so, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So how has the program evolved since you've been here? And that's my first question. My second question, were you surprised by anything? Was there anything that sort of struck you as something, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Sure. First stepping in, I came in at a transitionary period. Internally, there had been a lot of effort put in place and really wonderful hard work done by teams in GSA to develop the business case, to convince the agency that this was a worthwhile project. It is an idea that has been bouncing around GSA for a long time, and there was truthfully some debate about whether or not this was something we wanted to spend the resources to do. And so the team had pulled together a business case, met with stakeholders, and made the determination that, yes, indeed, this is something that we needed to accomplish. And then at that point, where we shift out of sort of the business case mode into now, we have the architecture, now we need to build the building. That's when I was brought in to sort of see it through now to award. And so it was a very smooth transition. I'd say the surprise for me was just the amount of support that I'm getting and the wonderful team that we have in place. When I took over Alliant, GSA was in the middle of a very strenuous transition, and it was the merger of the Federal Supply Service and the Federal Technology Service into what is now the Federal Acquisition Service.
I recall that.
I'm sure you do, Roger. Bodies were flying, things were changing, the org charts were shuffling on a daily basis. It was a very difficult time, and things like Alliant were sort of falling through the cracks. And so while I had good folks working for me, the support was fairly diffuse and it was fairly low profile. OASIS has support all the way to the top of FAS. It's one of our high priority initiatives in FAS. I've got a great team supporting me. I've been assigned resources from all of the portfolios within FAS. It's truly an enterprise initiative and really one of the first within the Federal Acquisition Service. So I'm getting support from the Integrated Technology Service, the Assisted Acquisition Service, in addition to Global Supply Service, which is where I'm located. Right. We're getting support from various regional offices. It's really been a team effort, and it's making it very easy to meet our milestones and produce a quality product.
Well, and actually, you are an example of that, right? You came from Assisted Acquisition Services, which is part of ITS, to work in the GSS portfolio to sort of manage this.
That's right. AAS it's separate from ITS, but yeah. It's a sister organization. Right. But yes, they did bring me in from outside, and I'm certainly tapping good resources across the agency as I need them. And everyone, up top, everyone with the senior executives, been very supportive of the initiative. And that's why I'm very confident in its ultimate success, because we have so much backing.
Right. So now I want to turn to, you mentioned that the building's sort of been built or that the structure's sort of in place and you're taking it forward. I guess the question that a lot of folks have is, how big is the building in many different ways? And first of all, just in terms of the scope, and this seems to me must be a challenge for you guys to figure out how big the scope really is, whether there's things that you see across the professional services that, are you missing anything? Like
right.
Whether it's environmental services
sure.
or energy consulting, or how are you going to sort of address that scope?
Yeah, and I think we get that question a lot. We were at GSA Expo and got a lot of feedback, and I think energy, environmental, and some degree security were ones that came up frequently. And so, at a high level, we described sort of the four major areas, the management and consulting, logistics, professional engineering services, and financial services as sort of compromising the core of what we are thinking of as professional services. That being said, those are very broad categories. So when we hear from customers about things like energy or environmental, our first question is, does this fit within those broader categories already? So when you talk about energy, for example, a lot of that's engineering. And so we could say, well, it fits under engineering. But that being said, to some degree, we need to clarify that in our scope statement ultimately to make sure that people understand that, just because we defined at a high level the categories of professional services, it doesn't exclude more particular or specialized subsets within. And the challenge for us is if you start listing particular subsets, then people ask about the ones you didn't list.
Right. And you know what? Right now, we'll talk about those ones you didn't list when we come back from our break, because now we're right up to the break.
Okay.
So, but when we return, we'll be talking more with Jim Galone. Jim is the director of the OASIS Program Office. And we'll talk a little bit more about scope of the contract or the building. How big is the building? And many different ways. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, we're talking to Jim Galone. Jim is the director of the OASIS Program Office. And when we took our break, Jim, we were talking a little bit about, the scope of the contract and services, and you were talking about environmental and energy consulting and how they fit in the bigger picture, sort of the four different areas of services that you're looking at. Go ahead, continue.
Sure. I think our challenge is to define what we mean by professional services. You know, we have those sort of kind of four categories, and I should add sort of IT as a fifth, just in the sense of, again, as a support component for a broader professional services. IT wouldn't be a factor in and of itself. And we discussed that. But so you've got these broad categories, and within that, there's any number of specific types of requirements, mission-specific requirements for particular agencies. And what we want to do is reassure agency contracting officers that if their specific mission requirements fit within those broader categories, then they're in scope, even if they're not explicitly listed, just because we can't explicitly list every possibility in such a broad category. So we're looking at, you know, obviously the North American Industrial Classification Codes, the NAICS codes, and seeing how they're organized and ways that we can tap into that. We've looked at DOD taxonomy of services to see how they've categorized things, what lessons we can learn there. I think that when we release our draft RFP, and we'll get to schedule here, I know in a little bit, that you'll see how we've tried to capture the scope in a way that's inclusive but still is definitive. And we'll additionally have training, ordering guides online after award to help clarify. And we will adopt a best practice from the Alliant team and do pre-award scope review for customers that are interested, that have a question about whether something is in scope or not. We'll be able to advise them on that free of charge in a quick turnaround fashion. So I guess what we'll do is we'll put out our draft RFP and we'll see what people say. And we'll take their opinions into account and finalize that when we go final.
Okay. And I'm staying on this theme of the size of the building. Have you figured out a contract maximum for this?
So we haven't set a ceiling yet. Obviously, we're looking at this from a variety of angles. Our estimate of the market for professional services that's kind of currently not being met by schedules or other tools out there is approximately $60 billion a year. And obviously, that might change as the budget is obviously changing and we see reductions. But even with that into account, we figure, you know, $50 to $60 billion a year. Obviously, we don't expect to capture 100% of that market. I would say, and this is just me based on historical data of GSA market share vehicles based on entire markets, if we can capture about $3 to $5 billion a year over the life cycle of OASIS, which would be about 10 years, I think that would be a realistic assessment of the amount of dollars that would flow through. Now, ceiling will be significantly higher than that. We want to have a cushion, make sure that that's
flexibility
there, right? In case there is a expansion of demand and that we're not running into those issues later on. And obviously, if the budget really does crash, then we can readjust our expectations. But I'd say
Well, you answered one of my other questions on the structure of the building. It sounds like it's going to be about 10 years, right?
Yeah, I think so. Plus or minus. Yes.
Yeah. And is it going to be like 5 and 5 or do you know?
That's one of our options for debate. We recently actually posted some questions on our interact.gsa.gov website, which we're using to communicate with stakeholders, primarily industry, but also customers. And we posted a series of questions. That was one. Do you feel is an appropriate base period? Do you prefer shorter or longer? We can do award term or options. These are all things that are on the table. Right. And we're looking for input, and we'll be making final decisions here in the next month or so about how that's going to look.
And, you know, you mentioned something that I wanted you to sort of touch on further in terms of what the market looks like is, you know, one of the things I know industry is concerned about, just generally speaking, and they look to GSA, is it's helping reduce contract duplication.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this, you know, this could have, you know, the market could be bigger depending on, the market's a certain size, but your percentage of it may increase depending on whether you know, there's a focus on reducing contract
duplication. Sure, no, it's absolutely. It's one of our goals is to help reduce contract duplication. We're having extensive discussions with OMB, with OFPP about this program. We're talking to the folks in the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative. This is not currently an FSSI-branded activity, but there are some similarities in the terms of we're going to be gathering business intelligence, and we're really meant to help trying to drive some economies of scale for these purchases. We'll have standardized labor categories, for example. So we're talking to agencies. We're talking to OMB about how the deployment of this vehicle can help reduce duplication to encourage agencies that, as I said earlier, are currently doing full and open, you know, one-off competitions to require these services to instead look first to what GSA has to offer and hopefully find a solution there. One of our hallmarks is to maximize the flexibility for the ordering contracting officer at the task order level. They have the requirement, and so we want to give them maximum flexibility to customize their requirement and their task order to meet their needs. And our office will help them do that as necessary through the life of the contract.
So in that sense, you're looking at all having the option of doing all kinds of different contract types at the order level?
That's right.
Right.
Even we said we have standardized labor categories at the master contract level, but if an agency determines it needs a specific labor category that we haven't thought of, they can absolutely include that at the task order level.
Right, and cost reimbursement and all, you know, and the incentive-based contracting.
That's right. Okay. They can team as they see fit. They can put together whatever prime sub teaming meets the requirement without any interference from us at the master contract level.
Okay, so what is best in class?
What is best in class? That's one of the questions we asked, Roger, of industry. And, you know, it's one of those, you know it when you see it, but it may be a little bit hard to define. That's what we're looking at is what are the indicators of best in class? Obviously, it involves things like experience and relevant tasks and similar tasks to what we anticipate being on here. There are various certifications across industry that we're looking at to see how relevant they are. We're asking industry what they feel are criteria. Quality of personnel, just a host of potential things.
Right. My reaction to that is best in class is how you're going to articulate your Section M evaluation
criteria, right?
And how you're going to be able to to differentiate between the various offerors. In that
yes,
evaluation.
I think and with many of these, the draft RFP will answer that question for us.
Right. Hey, so in talking about the draft RFP or the RFP, do you envision using like sample tasks for purpose of the evaluation? Or
at this point, no. Certainly, it is an option that we've discussed. My concern, just speaking personally with sample tasks, is that it's not a real requirement, and therefore I don't know what I've learned from getting a proposal for something that's not real. If we had an actual task, a seed task, if you will, that would be a different story. The challenge is that there's such a time lag between when we release an RFP and when we can make an award, especially including in this environment the high probability of a protest, which is going to add yet more time. I don't think there are a lot of requirements that are willing to sit for, you know, 9 to 12 months waiting to be awarded. If I'm wrong and if there is an agency listening that has a sample task or a seed task they want to do, please contact me, jim.galone@gsa.gov. But as of now, I'm not anticipating that.
And one final question before we take our last break. Number of awards?
I can't tell you. Right. I will say.
Well, I understand. Or you can tell all of us.
That's
listening.
Right. I know. It's a commonly asked question. You know, we're looking for best-in-class contractors. We for the vast majority of professional services requirements, we anticipate that they will continue to use schedules like MOBIS, PES, LogWorld that aren't necessarily complex the way I defined that earlier. So we're looking at just those kind of most complex requirements, the ones that are going to be particularly challenging and require a wide array of tools and experience on the part of industry. So I don't expect that there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds out there that would qualify for that. So we're looking at a smaller number. What that number is will obviously be determined by the quality of the bids we get.
Okay. Very good answer. Jim, now we have to take our last break. Mm-hmm. But when we return, we'll be talking more with Jim Galone. Jim is the director of the OASIS Program Office. And we'll talk a little bit about schedule and some of the other logistics going on out there with regard to OASIS. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Jim Galone. Jim is the director of the OASIS Program Office at the Federal Acquisition Service, and we've been talking about the structure, the building that is OASIS, and the acquisition sort of strategy that as it's currently laid out. amongst other things. And now it's time, Jim, for some logistics and what's going on. Can you talk a little bit about the current schedule first?
Sure. So the high-level schedule we posted, I'd say, about a month or two ago. We're going to get – the next major milestone is to get our draft RFP out. And we said summer 2012. After that, we anticipate issuing the final RFP around the end of the calendar year. We've said winter, you know, 12, 13. It really will depend on the reaction we get to the draft. So if the draft goes through without excessive comment, if people seem either happy or resigned to what we've done and don't find any significant flaws, then you would see that sooner.
I like the way you said that, happy or resigned.
Well, you know, you can't make everybody happy.
That is the procurement world.
It is. So obviously, if we have to make substantive changes, then that would push that later on. But I think still winter is a good estimate for that. So we'll try to get that out around the end of the calendar year. And I will say that we are cognizant of the holidays. We don't want to ruin either industries or our own holidays. And so we'll take into account that, you know, we know that people kind of disappear from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and we're not going to drop an RFP on Thanksgiving Day and ruin everybody's weekend. So after that, we anticipate, and obviously this, it gets more difficult to project depending on the number of bids that we get. We're hopeful that we can get the initial evaluations done by the summer of 2013. So that'll be about 6 months. Again, that will vary depending on the number. But our hope is to get that done in the summer. We anticipate, just simply due to the environment we live in, that there will be a protest to GAO, hopefully not many, hopefully none, but just realistically for scheduling, we have to assume there will be. And so we're projecting that we will win, hopefully, knock on wood here, that we will win the protest and be able to issue a notice to proceed right around the beginning of fiscal year 14.
Okay. So when you say the awards will be made probably the next summer.
Yeah. So say we make awards in, say we'll be optimistic and say in June, early July, then we get a protest that adds 90 days.
Right.
So that pushes you into, you know, October.
Okay.
And then we'd be able to issue notice to proceed and actually get some work flowing onto the vehicle.
Right. And in that time frame, where is the business case that you've done?
Yes. So we have the internal business case is done and has been approved. We also have what we're calling the external business case that we are going to post on the Max portal, which is a website that OMB manages. Because this is not a GWAC, we don't actually have to get formal approval or executive agency from OMB, but we're still talking to them on a regular basis and updating them on the process. And we will post our business case for comment probably around the same time as the draft RFP is posted, because there are things in each, you know, that we can't finish the business case till we finish the draft RFP. And then there are spoilers, if you will, in the business case that we don't want released before the draft RFP. So they'll be fairly similar timed. So you'll see that again in the summer.
Right. And I guess that's good from the context. It will help put the RFP in context as to what the business case, I think that'll be.
Exactly. And the business case in the Max portal is for customers to review and comment. We've had a variety of customer working groups with agencies, you know, I think 10, 11, 12 different agencies, civilian and defense represented. So we've had extensive conversations with our customers, but this will put that out to a broader audience. And certainly we're very interested in getting customer feedback on the direction that we're going in and the decisions we've made, and we'll correct as appropriate based on their comments.
And in terms of communication with industry, I know one of the things that you've just recently sort of adopted is opportunity for individual meetings. Can you talk about how that works?
Sure, yeah. You know, we're trying to be transparent. That's obviously an administration goal, and to be communicative. And our initial attempt at that was our interact.gsa.gov website, which is being a very successful. We post information, blogs, documents there on a regular basis. I'm sure we'll have a link to this program on there very soon and advertise it ahead of time. But what we found is in discussion with industry, when I appeared at the Coalition for Government Procurement Spring Conference, a comment that I got frequently at GSA Expo, we heard frequently, was that many companies are not able to post on blogs, that they have internal procedures that really make it difficult for them to offer their feedback in that environment. And so we do want that feedback. At the same time, there aren't that many of us, and we really didn't want to be inundated with a series of capabilities briefs. So the middle ground that we found was what we've done is recently on interact.gsa.gov on the OASIS page, we posted a series of questions, things that we're still debating internally where we really need some feedback. And we made the offer that any company that submitted a white paper addressing those questions would be offered the opportunity to meet one-on-one with our team for what we call a due diligence session, a half-hour discussion of the white paper and other issues related to OASIS. So again, it's not a marketing opportunity. It's an opportunity to talk specifically about the direction of the OASIS program. We've got our first meeting scheduled for tomorrow. We've got a number, I can say at least 10, and they're coming in every day. Sure. White paper's coming in. So over the next about a month or so, we'll be receiving that information, having those discussions. We think it's a great opportunity to meet one-on-one where companies feel more comfortable talking off the record. It's all non-attributive,
right.
Whatever that word is.
Right.
It's proprietary.
I know what you meant.
So, you know, the responses
for
non-attribution. Are proprietary. Thank you. The responses are proprietary, so industry can feel comfortable that their responses won't be shared outside our team. And so we're getting a lot of good feedback, and it's going to really shape, I think, some of those final decision points.
Okay. In that regard, too, are there other For are you? I mean, one of the things you had mentioned too is meeting with associations.
Yeah, absolutely. I've met with Tech America, for example. Obviously, I spoke at the Coalition conference. I mentioned that earlier.
And we'll be setting up a meeting with
I'm
you.
Sure.
As well.
I'm happy to meet with any of the industry associations. I find it's a very useful forum to disseminate information to a large group and to get feedback in a way that's a little more structured than you get from individuals. And so I encourage the managers of such groups to just send an invitation. We're happy to come and chat. And we'll be pushing or seeking out certain other groups as well to talk to as time goes on here.
Right. Okay, so we're coming to the end of the show, and I just wanted to give you one last chance to say anything you want to say to, you know, to industry out there about it and with regard to the communication with your office.
Okay, yeah, for industry, you know, please go to interact.gsa.gov. Lots of information there. You know, respond to the white paper. If you don't want to respond to the white paper, we have a mailbox, oasis@gsa.gov. It's only monitored by government folks. You can email your thoughts there. We want to hear from you. Respond to the draft RFP. This is your chance to help shape the acquisition. Once we go final, then it's, you know, pretty much done. For customers, it's a while out. So I know that, you know, I get asked, when can I use it? Probably not for a while, but keep your eyes open.
So you are getting a lot of feedback already from
yes.
customers.
And we'll continue to meet with our customer working group at each major milestone to get their make sure that they're approving what we're doing and that they're looking at what we're doing and we're going in the right direction. But stay tuned.
Who are those customers you're talking to?
It's a variety of agencies. There's folks from, you know, Commerce, VA, DOD, Air Force, Navy, just energy, variety, GSA folks as well, Treasury. I can't even name them all. DHS, other agencies sending representatives at different times, either on the phone or in person to our different working group meetings. So it's been a very educational experience. And to date, they're very pleased with the direction we're going. And I hear frequently, if this was available now, we would be using it extensively.
Okay. So, well, you know, on that note, yeah. on that positive note, and you got your work cut out for you, Jim.
Absolutely.
And I really thank you for being the show. And again, I want to thank my guest, Jim Galone. Jim is the director of the OASIS Program Office for joining me today on Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.